chapter number 8. And I asked my wife to sing that song this morning. That's my testimony song. That's where I was at. I felt like I was going down for the last time. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on a bicycle in a food store. And I remember the preacher and parking lot of the food store. Amen. And I remember the preacher saying, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I had some say, "Well, wasn't nobody there to lead you in this or lead you in that?" And I said, "The Holy Ghost was there to lead me." And a man of God preached, and the Holy Ghost led me to repent and to turn to Him. And I called out to God that night, "I could take you to that place." I couldn't give you the time on a calendar necessarily, almost September 1990, but I couldn't give you a time on a clock exactly, but I can take you to the place and I let you know for sure that's what the Lord did for me. Amen? And so I was drowning in a sea of sin as that song starts out. There was a preacher, one of my preacher friends, Brother Josh Calloway. He preached a message one time. Sometimes, Brother Bell said, people will say, "Well, you just think you're better than I am." And the devil will lie to a sinner and say they just think they're better than you are. And Brother Josh preached a message on not better, just better off. Amen. And so we're better off than others because we've been saved by the grace of God. We're still not better. Amen. But we're better off because we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand, if you would, this morning, Matthew chapter number 8. I'm going to read these 4 verses, and I appreciate when the Lord confirms what He's doing. And the testimonies, in the testimony, it was kind to the title of the message was nearly said in the testimony of Brother Chris and others. And so you pray for me, the Lord will help me. Pray for sinners this morning, amen. And pray for yourself. God will take you back down memory lane when you got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Bible said, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, 'See thou tell no man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" I want to preach on this thought. This leper come to Jesus, and he'd heard about Jesus, no doubt. Amen. You cannot believe on Jesus Christ if you've never heard of Him. Amen. So he'd heard about Jesus, and he knew that Jesus could make him clean. Amen. He said, he put forth his hand and touched, or he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." So he'd heard about this man named Jesus that could make him clean. And Jesus said, "I will be thou clean." I want to preach this morning on He can and He will. Amen. He can and He will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this crowd that has come out this morning. Thank you for the good power of God that we felt in the singing, the teaching, the testifying. And I pray, God, that you'd touch me for a little while in the preaching. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Now I want to preach on that thought here this morning and encourage the saints of God. In 2020, I know we're not seeing people saved. You can read about American church history and hear of thousands being saved. And you can hear about great revivals in early America. And a lot of Baptists in this day, they're saying they're having thousands saved, getting them to repeat a prayer and having thousands saved. But after 3,000 got saved there on the day of Pentecost, or about 3,000, and a few more thousand were saved, the Bible talks about over there that they had turned the world upside down with just a few thousand getting saved. And that's not taking place in our day. But I'm glad to tell you, as children of God, as we go out and witness and we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do, isn't that what Jesus told us to do? In Acts chapter 1, He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." I tell you, when you don't see a lot of fruit of your work, sometimes you think, well, you get discouraged about it. But I'm here to tell children of God this morning, He can and He will. He's not lost His saving power. He's the only one that can save, and He still can in this day. Amen. He can still save sinners, and He will
save sinners that will turn to Him and will come to Him by the grace of God. And so, that's an encouraging thing as you read the Word of God and seem like the Holy Ghost whispered to me, and I've preached this message before, on He can and He will. I mentioned back here in the men's prayer room and asked these men, and I've tried every church that I've went to mention my dad. He is never around. He's lost and on drugs. I love him, but he's got to realize where he's at. He's told me before, I've got my own God, and I've got my own, and I'm sure he does, and it's the God of this world. And the Bible said the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Amen. But the Bible said, and we have this gospel. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hey, thank God, somewhere along the line in this man's life, somebody told him about a man named Jesus. Hey, thank God that some people took me to the house of God, and a preacher stood up and told me about a man named Jesus. That changed my life. I'm telling you this morning, the name of Jesus will either make you happy or make you mad. Amen. That's what it seemed like. Seemed like there's no middle ground about a man named Jesus. And by the way, there's no middle ground this morning. You're either a believer or an unbeliever. You're either saved or lost. You're either headed to heaven or headed to hell. There's no neutral ground when it comes of the man Jesus Christ. Every man's going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father someday. And I'm just telling you this morning, it doesn't matter how much wickedness we're seeing today and ungodliness and God deniers, he can and he will save sinners. He can and he will. Amen. I hear Brother Pollard, a lot of these men talk about in the old days in the revivals hear about how the Lord moved. I'm glad he hadn't changed this morning and he can still save sinners. As Brother Billy Mitchell said, I understand we're victims of prophecy, but God can still save sinners. And listen this morning, it doesn't matter this morning whether God is saving multitudes today. It doesn't matter. It's about him saving you this morning. Bible said there in verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Do you see that? And so in verse 1, it talks about great multitudes that were there around Jesus. But then it said in verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst, what's that next word? Thou canst make me clean. Hey, what you need to worry about here this morning is he made you clean. Was there a time in your life personally where God dealt with you? You might say, I know that my wife's saved. I believe the preacher's saved. I believe so-and-so. I believe God can save multitudes. But I thank God for the night. It wasn't just about the multitudes that were lost on the road to hell. God made it personal that night. I'm just glad, Brother Chris, that he took time in the midst of multitudes dying and going to hell to save me. I'm glad God saved you if you're saved. I'm glad God saved sinners and a great multitude of sinners throughout the years, but I sure am glad he saved me. That night, he wasn't dealing with me about the sin of all humanity. He wasn't dealing with me about even the sin of Adam. He was dealing with me about my sin and my filthy rags in his sight. Hey, thank God. Hey, child of God, you ought to rejoice. And the song said, give him the glory, amen, that he saved you, a dirty, rotten sinner, decaying and rotting in your flesh, headed to sure judgment and justified judgment in the sight of God. But now, thank God, because of Calvary, God is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. We don't deserve to be justified, but thank God Christ Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit of God. That same Spirit that quickened him out of that tomb came to me that night, and me personally that night, and quickened me in this old dead tomb that I live in. This old tomb's still dead. There was a time I was dead on the outside and dead on the inside, but thank God I was quickened by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God's just in it. Men try to justify themselves in their own eyes. Men try to justify themselves in the sight of men. But this morning, only God is just enough to justify you in His sight. Amen. And so thank God this morning. And He can and He will do what He done for me over 23 years ago. He can do that for you. He can and He will. Maybe you're praying for some lost loved one. I mentioned in the prayer room about my dad and about my family, all on drugs, all off into sin. There's been times they've come to me and said, I wish I had what you have. I wish I was like you. That made me feel about that big. And I said, it ain't nothing about me. And I tell him about what happened that night at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know what I tell him? He can and He will do it for you. Amen. But it's up to you, sinner, to repent and turn to God. Side with God against your flesh. Side with God against yourself and plead guilty, and He'll declare you innocent. Amen. Hey, thank God He can and He will this morning. You'll see, first of all, in this text, He can and He will because of His humanity. Amen. I thank God that Jesus was made flesh. He is made man. Amen. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hey, Jesus was coming to this world made lower than the angels, was made a man, thank God. I sure am glad for this morning. He had to come into this world and live under the law, die under the law, thank God, and fulfill the righteous and holy law of Almighty God, that according to Romans 8, that righteousness of that law might be fulfilled in us. And this morning the law has been fulfilled inside of me because Jesus kept the law and He fulfilled the law. Do you know that old preacher, Brother Earl Hughes, Brother Bill? Do you ever know Brother Earl Hughes? If you ever heard Brother Earl Hughes, we drink that and I can run a little while longer, amen. Brother Earl Hughes, one time, he had a way of saying things before he died. He couldn't get out. He's in a nursing home, and he preached everywhere and went everywhere. When he couldn't get out of that nursing home, he become the pastor to the nursing home. He'd preach to them, amen, until he died. But Brother Earl, at a meeting I was at one time, he come down there, and he's talked about the law of God and how man couldn't attain to the law of God. And he said the law was way up here. The law was sitting up on a mountain looking down at everybody, and the law being high and mighty, and nobody could attain to the pinnacle of the law. And one day a man came and stood right beside the law, and the law looked over at him and he said, how'd you get up here? He said, I didn't get up here, I came down here. Amen. He came down out of this earth and humbled himself, and listen, he fulfilled the law. Amen. Hey, the only way you'll get up to the law is to be in Christ Jesus. And when you realize how low and how rotten you are in your flesh, and realize how ungodly you are, and come to yourself like that a prodigal son did there in the hog pen, and come back to the Father through Jesus Christ, you'll end up in hell and judgment and hell, fire, and brimstone. But you don't have to, because He can and He will. Amen. Hey, because of His humanity, He can and He will. Jesus, the Bible said in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Notice how the words of Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And the Bible said this is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But, thank God, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the next verse said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Bible said, and John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And John said, and of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hey, the same lawgiver came down as a man, and the grace was manifest in a person, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you reject the Baptist this morning, whether you reject the preacher this morning. It matters if you reject Jesus Christ. Men go to hell because they reject God's gift of his holy, righteous Son, Jesus Christ. You say, I know what it means to be a Baptist. I know what it means to go to church. I know some of the Bible. Do you know Jesus Christ? The Bible said, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You shout, I know I have the Son. Hey, when a person moves in that's different than you, you know about it. When my wife moved in, I did have hair then, but I didn't need hair curlers. I didn't need what are they called, curling irons, and I didn't wear makeup and a stilldone, and I sure didn't wear a dress or women's clothing and a stilldone, but I knew there was somebody different in the house. Amen. It's a totally different atmosphere when somebody else moved in. Hey, when Jesus and the Father make their abode on the inside of a sinner, how can you not know it? Amen. Well, thank God this morning he can and he will because of his humanity. Amen. He is willing to come into this world. 2 Corinthians 5, whenever it talks about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a great verse in that chapter, but it's probably not the greatest, because it wouldn't be possible without the last verse. It said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What we see right here, brother, is not righteous. It's ungodly. It's wicked. But thank God for the righteousness imputed to my account and imparted in my heart. And it's because Jesus became man and come to this sin-cursed world and was willing to lay his life down that you and I might not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. He can and he will because of his humanity. He can and he will. Because of his humanity, Hebrews 7 said, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. He became, that word became means he fit what we needed as sinners. He is the right priest that we need. He was the right sacrifice, thank God. For such an high priest became us, who is, not was, thank God. Thank God for the Jesus that was. He said in Revelation, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And you got to believe on the Jesus that was, but not just the Jesus that was, the Jesus that is. And the Bible said he became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he done once when he offered up himself. He's not not in the Catholic mass. He's not in Baptist who think they got to live good every day. He suffered once for all for sin, thank God. And where sacrifice is made for these, there's no more offering for sin. You know what that tells me? If you're trying to offer to God church membership, trying to offer to God being good and doing good, you're still trying to offer and you've not accepted God's offering. Isaiah said he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Amen. You part of those many this morning? He died for all, but only many will be saved. Y'all get that? I understand in the great all and many in that text. Jesus died for all and shed his blood for every sinner. He came into the world to save sinners. He by the grace of God tasted death for every man, but not every man is going to go to heaven when they die. Only those that have been born again. So I say this morning, he can and he will because of his humanity. But you know why he came in his humanity? If I knock that thing down, came in his humanity because of his humility. What a humble Savior we have. It says in verse 1, and when he was come down from the mountain. Now let me say this, he came a lot further down than just that mountain. Amen. In fact, he had already came down to the earth, went up on that mountain. You look at different places in the life of Jesus where he went up on the mountain. That woman at the well, he climbed up that mountain, was weary with his journey. He is thirsty because of his journey. But he must needs go through Samaria, thank God. And he went up on that mountain. But before he could come down the mountain to this man, go up the mountain to that woman, he had to come down from heaven, thank God. He had to come down to this earth and be a human in humanity, and he did it because of his humility. Amen. Amen. Right. What a Savior. Amen. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report, and to whom this arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. Listen, he humbled himself enough to know he is going to face that. Calvary didn't take him by surprise. The mockers didn't take him by surprise. He willingly came to endure that and to go to Calvary, and he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and God's given him a name which is above every name. Hey, some people are trusting Baptist preachers, some people are trusting Joseph Smith, some people are trusting all kind of different men that are dead and gone, and most of them in hell. I mean, some of them even trusting good men, but it ain't about them. The only one that has a name above every name is the name Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad he is willing to humble himself. Come down. I quoted this the other night out of Psalm 113. The Bible said, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven. The Bible said that the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there's any that, and what it's saying in that text, can't remember exactly, but he's trying to see if there's any that sought after him, that even inquired about him, after he'd put that knowledge inside of them of him, as saying, man don't want anything to do with God, and the God's got his knowledge inside of them. But the Bible said, and there was none, amen. He looked down there. It would have been fine and just if God would have never looked our way again. But he didn't just look down, he came down, amen. I'm glad he came down to this earth, and I'm glad, although he said, he told them, I could call those legions of angels to deliver me from this hour. That's before he was at the cross. Wasn't that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He could have called them to come get him. He still could have called there on the cross of Calvary, but his eyes were set like a flint towards Calvary. He done always those things that pleased his Father on our behalf, amen. And he came down here. He laid down on the cross of Calvary. He died like any other man. But he died like no other man. Amen. Men have died without God. He died as a God-man, so man don't have to die without God. And so this morning, thank God for what humility that he had. He looked around heaven and it was humbling. He looked upon the, just the look of the earth was humbling for him, according to Psalm 113. But you know what? He came down here and he willingly laid down his life. I don't believe they had to fight him. No telling how many men had died on a Roman cross before Jesus Christ. I promise you there's probably not one of them that didn't fight him, that didn't scream, that didn't try everything they could to stop the nails from going in their hands and in their feet. But the Bible said, as a lamb before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is on the cross of Calvary. I understand he did say some things up there, but as far as defending himself, as far as trying not to stay on that cross, he is willing to do it. Amen. Thank God for the humble Savior. That's why sinners are not going to get saved just by just smacking their gum and giggling and talking and just saying, well, I just read these set of facts. I want to join up with y'all. God's got to bring a man to the point of humility. The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Pilate didn't humble him. He said, you have no power except to be given thee from God. Those centurion soldiers didn't humble him. Amen. The nails and the cross didn't humble him. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. And the Bible said in Hebrews, and though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, which meant complete. Amen. There was a time set what Jesus had to do, and the time he's going to be here, and to fulfill the things he's supposed to fulfill. And the Bible says, being made perfect, he humbled himself and became obedient to even the death of the cross. And the Bible tells, I got those verses mixed up, but it's good anyway. Amen. Yeah. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe. You a believer this morning? You an unbeliever? Amen? If you're an unbeliever, I'm telling you, he can and he will make a believer out of you. Much as I holler and scream, get red-faced and sweat, I can't make a believer out of you. I'm just one that's sent by God, don't deserve it. And the Bible said, how shall they believe on him in whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't call on somebody you never heard of, somebody you don't believe in. But I'm telling you this morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen. He can and he will this morning because of his humanity. He can and he will because of his humility. The high and holy God became meek and lowly. And he came to this earth as a high and holy God. And he took upon him flesh. And he got over there in Matthew chapter number 11, a few chapters after this. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. While you're at rest in your sin, you like drinking that whiskey, you like drinking that wine, you like smoking that dope, you like sitting in a church pew and just having your conscience soothed by religion. But when it becomes a laborious task and it becomes a burden on your heart that it's not good enough and it doesn't help, thank God you'll go to the great physician. Amen. And he's got an open invitation this morning. He's saying, I can and I will. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Y'all remember when you got that rest, child of God? That's what it was. When I got saved that night, there wasn't some big angel wrote it in the sky and said, you're saved. There wasn't some parade come down the road at 3 o'clock in the morning and start talking about me being saved. But peace came on the inside. He is our peace. Thank God he made peace through the blood of his cross. And the only way, sinner, if you're here this morning lost, you're an enemy to Almighty God. He wants you to be his friend. He laid down his life for his friends. There's got to be an agreement between, there's got to be a go-between between you and God the Father. And the Bible said there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad he humbled himself? I tell you this morning, He can and He will because of His humanity. He can and He will because of His humility. And because of that, He can and He will, and only He can and will, cleanse physical and spiritual leprosy. Amen. I'm winding up here in a few hours. Y'all just pay attention. I'm kidding for those of you that... Jesus, you remember when John was discouraged there in the prison after he'd preached? There's a possibility, if you read that, John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I personally don't think John just started preaching when he was 30-something years old. He may have been a kid preacher. You don't have to believe that. I'm just saying, why was he filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? I'm not saying one or the other. I'm just throwing something out. He'd been preaching for a long time. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. He is preaching about one to come, I believe, for a long time. He come there on the shore, amen. But he preached, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't have no problem believing it then, did he? He saw that Holy Spirit descend like a dove, and he said, behold. One preacher said that word, behold, means looky, looky, amen. Looky, looky, there's the Savior. That's my job this morning, say, sinner, looky, looky. If you really look at yourself and realize how filthy and ungodly and where you're headed and undeserving, it'll be good news then, thank God. It'll be good news and you realize you're on death row and I've got the pardon from the warden, thank God, and he'll pardon you by the grace of God. Amen. Let me get back to John. Little commercials while you preach are good ones, I hope. Amen. John's in the prison. He said, go and ask Jesus. If he's the one, or do we look for another? Amen. Jesus said, go show John again. You know what I believe? When he said show, he didn't say drag a leper that I've cleansed down there. He didn't say take a blind man down there. He said take the book down there and take him to Isaiah and say the lame are made to walk, the blind are made to see, and blessed is he whosoever's not offended in me. He said show him I'm lining up with the book. I'm doing just what the Word of God said, and believe on me because of what the book says. So he said go tell John about the things he's seen and heard. What he's seen. Hey, Jesus was rejected by the Jews not because he made them reject him. I don't believe that. In his foreknowledge, he knew they would, and he set up things based on his foreknowledge. Amen. But they knew when a leper come back to the high priest and said, this is my name. This is when I was, you can look in your book, see when I was declared a leper, and I've come back to show you I'm clean. That's why I said, go show the priest, amen. And listen, he come back, but here's what I'm trying to say. He can and he will heal your spiritual leprosy. You'd rather have a physical leprosy and rot and decay and die and go to heaven than to die with spiritual leprosy. Amen. Leprosy was a disease that slowly rots away flesh. The leprosy of the spirit, I guess you'd call it, Brother Bell, is slowly decaying closer and closer to the second death and damnation for eternity. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Those that have done good, that's how do you do good. Jesus told some of them, this is how you do good, to believe on him whom is sin. Amen. Those that have done good under the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. You're not saved here this morning. You're slowly rotting spiritually, and you're going to suffer the second death one day. How sad to end up in hell. How sad to end up. And I've told you, everybody on the sound of my voice this morning, not because it's my voice, but you've been told, I hope, by the Holy Ghost above my voice, that he can and he will. Amen. They say that leprosy, that physical leprosy, Brother Bill, starts out on the inside before it surfaces on the outside. Now there's some people, that leprosy is on the inside, and boy, they can sure cover it up on the outside. And maybe some of you sitting here this morning and for years, and I don't try to make anybody doubt, I promise you that, but there's grounds in the Bible says examine yourself. I don't try to make anybody doubt, but I pray the Holy Ghost will deal with whoever needs to be dealt with, that for years you've covered it up, as Brother Bill said, maybe with a suit, maybe with a nice dress, maybe having the right haircut and having all the things, eyes dotted and T's crossed, but inside you're a spiritual leper. You go to the same hell as the thug that's in the gutter this morning.
Right. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Right. Yes,
but you know what? They said that leprosy, Brother Chris, starts on the inside. And it works its way out. I thank God Brother Roloff said that's what salvation does.
Yeah.
It starts on the inside and works its way out. Yeah. But hey, it says usually, Brother Chris, the first place that leprosy starts to manifest itself on the face somewhere. And a lot of times on the nose. You know what I get out of that when I read that? It'd do us all good to go look in the mirror and look at ourselves and talk to God and nothing else. Just say, Lord, thank you for saving this old wretch I see in this mirror. Thank you. Thank God. Lost, it'd be a good time not to look around to everybody else, but go take a good look at yourself.
Amen.
Amen. See if you can see the leprosy. I believe you say by the grace of God, you can see the cleansing God's made in your life. I've got family members and nobody, they don't have to tell anybody they're on drugs and they're in a situation. You can see it, how it's dealt with their flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Right.
You can just see it on them. I'm not saying everybody that looks rough. Everybody ain't as good looking as me. Yeah, right. I'm glad they ain't. Amen. Be an ugly world. I'm telling you what, I'm glad one night the Holy Ghost showed me how ugly I was in the sight of God. And I sure am glad He also showed me how beautiful I could be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And hey, I've tried to tell people since then what He's done for me, He can and will do for you. He can cleanse that spiritual leprosy. But let me say in Proverbs 30 what this generation is going through when they look in that mirror. When a man of God, I thank God for preaching that'll put the mirror in front of your face. Put that perfect law of liberty. Sinners see the perfect law of liberty as bondage. And they run away from it, Brother Bell. That preacher's trying to put me in bondage. He may be trying to keep you out of the chains of eternal darkness and damnation. Hell is not a place where you just be annihilated. Jude said of that crowd over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, and they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He didn't say they suffered. He said suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And they're in chains of darkness forever. Amen. Well, this morning, let me say this, Proverbs 30 said, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Listen, you young people, if you come to the time in your life, I don't believe there's necessarily an age of accountability, but there's a time of accountability in your life and you reject Jesus Christ, whatever age He sees fit, say you're accountable, amen, you'll die and go to hell. I don't want you to go. Your pastor preaches every Sunday and it's taught in this church about sinners being born again because it's real. Amen. I'm glad God made hell so real to me. Proverbs said there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation, oh how lost are their eyes, whose teeth are as swords and jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. There's a generation now let me say, you hear all of that? There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. I've been in stores and heard children nearly cuss their parents, and some of them cuss. They learn it from their parents. I've seen people, in my day when I was young, there was these two boys, they cussed and physically, sometimes mentally abused their grandmother, And she had took them in because the mother and father had died. And she took them in and they went off after drugs and stealing from their grandmother. And they'd cuss her and they had hit her sometimes. I tell you what, I hope they got born again. They deserve hell for that just like I deserve hell. But I'm telling you, there's a generation today coming up. And the Bible said their teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. You know what? Somebody that could kill a baby in a womb, their teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives. And the Bible said to devour the poor from all the earth and the needy from among men. We've got a day where they murder babies, the help of assisted suicide. They're saying you've lived long enough, and if you're elderly, we're not going to give you any care, just die. Right in the middle of that, talking about that same generation, there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He knew there'd be deception about that statement. He said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves in mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And before we start smacking them or snapping them suspenders in a nice suit, amen, he said, and such were some of you. That's what this been about this morning. Brother Bell, won't you know that's what he was in the sight of God at one time. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's a reason we sing, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I'm telling you, he can and he will. His blood will wash you from your sins. If you don't get cleansed, Revelation 22 verse 11 said, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. But you know what, children of God? I'm glad it said, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Hey, since I got born again in 1990, I've been righteous ever since the sight of God. And when that day comes in the presence of God, I'll be righteous then too. Just the same token, because of him, thank God, and righteousness of God. Same token, sinner, if you die unrighteous and filthy and unclean in the sight of God, you'll go where filthy, unrighteous, and unclean sinners go. But you can. You can be clean. Isn't it good to be clean with God? Amen. This generation peering their own eyes, Isaiah 64, 6 said, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. If our righteousnesses are as filthy rags when it comes to salvation, what are our sins? He said, you're right things if you bring them to God. We do right things. Mankind does right things. Amen? But when it comes to present it before God, God will say it's filthy. Amen. It's filthy, you're filthy. Right. Yeah. Say, well, what will do the job? Complete holiness, purity, pure, clean, holy, righteous blood. Amen. Thank God Jesus offered himself without spot before God. Right. God said over there in the book of Leviticus, I'm putting my coat on, but I'm getting cold, so I can't preach much longer if I'm cold. I know. I'm just kidding. God required righteous, holy blood. Amen. Jesus went into that Holy of Holies, and God said, is it the book of Ezekiel? The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar. Amen. Jesus said, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. In that Hebrews chapter number 10, it talks about the blood, the book, and it talks about the hope. Amen. You see those flags on verse 1 in here? That ain't just something somebody made up. That's right out of the book tonight. There's no hope for you without the book telling you about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me just say in closing, he did it willingly. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God. Let's read this text together again.
Matthew 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain. Amen. Great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand. You know that old song, He Touched Me, amen. Well, nobody in that day, Sister Bell, touch a leper without a fear of certain slow, decaying, rotting death. This wasn't an ordinary man, amen. This wasn't an ordinary Jew. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know what happened in verse 2? He admitted he was dirty. Will you make me clean? He didn't say, I've been dealt a bad hand. And God's laws condemned me and separated me from my family, separated me from the synagogue. God, you're just not right. You know what he did? Instead of saying, well, God, you're mean, and you won't allow me to do this, and you won't allow me to do that. He said, God, you're right. I'm unclean. I'm filthy. I'm unclean. And he heard about Jesus, and he came to him. And Jesus said, I will be thou clean, willingly. He's willing this morning. Amen. Are you willing to repent? We've quoted that verse, which was born not of the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but of God. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe he breaks your will against your will, but he's got to deal with you and show you your will's wrong.
Yep.
Show you his will.
Amen.
Amen. He willingly. It said over there in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved.
Yep.
And to come under the knowledge of the truth. Don't let the devil lie to you here this morning, sinner. He's willing to save you. If he sought enough this morning to convict your heart and to draw you that I can't do it, only he can do, he's willing to save you this morning. James chapter 1, it said, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. I tried to give you the word of truth this morning. Child of God, isn't it good?
Yes, it is.
Amen, that God's willing to save you. I mean, say lastly, he can and he will, and this man had a testimony about it.
Amen.
You ever wonder why Jesus, he tells us to go and tell it. He told them, don't go tell anybody. But go to the priest.
Amen.
Now sometimes it's just because there's such a crowd, Jesus couldn't get out and go. But you know what I believe right here? He wanted him to get straight to the priest.
Amen.
And he wanted him to line his testimony of being cleansed from leprosy up with the book.
Amen.
Does your testimony line up with the book? I didn't know much about the book when I got saved other than that I was a sinner and this place called hell and there was a judgment. I knew that if I'd call the Lord, I'd get saved. But after I got saved, the Holy Ghost come live on the inside.
Amen.
And preachers started preaching and teachers started teaching. I started reading my Bible. I got grounded and I can give you a biblical testimony why I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Why I know I don't deserve it, but why I know I'm saved.
Amen.
You know what? This man was a leper, Brother Chris.
Yep.
And although there's some outward scars that you may have that you can't change right now, if you've been cleansed on the inside, that's all that matters. There'll be a new body one day. And there's people with outward scars that they can't do anything about. And you and I that maybe have never been down that road, don't look down your nose at them. They can't take care of some of those outward scars. But if they've been saved by the grace of God, one day, thank God, there's going to be a new body. Jesus may have been saying, don't worry about going and telling everybody. They're going to know. They're going to know you as a dirty leper out there crying, unclean, unclean. Go down there to the priest, line it up with the book, then go testify. Amen?
Amen. Right. Good.
He can and he will this morning. Amen? Do you believe that? This leper believed that he could. He wanted to know if he would. And this morning he can and he will. Let's stand this morning if you would. Every head bowed and every eye.